So let's welcome Pastor Andrea to come and minister God's word.
Praise Jesus. What a fantastic time of praise and worship we've had. You know, the Copelands are believing to go on to be 120, according to your faith. Healthy and strong. I don't want to live to be 100 if I'm not healthy and strong. But with long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. Long and strong in the name of Jesus. Well, praise God. I'm excited about this year. I don't know about you. I'm believing this is a good year. And the Lord is so wanting us to receive his promises. If you think about it this way, he is wanting to give even more than we are wanting to receive. I don't know if your view of God is like that. If it isn't, it should be. He's so generous. He's so wanting to get all of his goodness, daily load us, skip loads of benefits into our lives. But for that to happen and really become our reality, we have to understand his ways and copy them. Copy him, imitate him, really understand how he works and do it as he does it. How did the Lord create the universe? The heavens, the earth, the sea, the fish. I love that Blue Planet series. I don't know about you. I've not watched the more recent one yet. But, you know, the things that are down there in the deep, you can hardly believe your eyes when you see it. He created it all through believing and speaking. He made something out of nothing. He made substance, if I can put it like that, out of nothing. Simply through believing and speaking. And how did Jesus do every miracle he did? Feeding the 5,000. He believed and spoke. He gave thanks, didn't he? Believed and spoke. And then, therefore, how are we to see the work of God in our lives? Through believing and speaking. God works through believing and speaking, and it's never one without the other. They don't work on their own. You need the combination of the two. And, you know, you might have been believing really, really well and believing right, but your speaking's been wrong. You've negated or cancelled out your good believing through your bad speaking. I know I've done that. If you're honest, you'll admit to have done that in the past. Or you might have been speaking all the right things, quoting scriptures left, right, and center, but no real believing in the heart. Either way, it's not going to work. And actually, either way, we get disappointed, don't we? And just discouraged. And I want to speak this morning. We're just continuing to speak on what the Lord's given us to speak, really, about prophesying the promise. I want to speak about prophesying the promise in the face of discouragement. Just turn to the person next to you and say, phew. Praise God. Okay, well, discouragement comes to all of us, doesn't it? At different times, discouragement and just, finding life tough. It happens to all of us at different times. And it's often through the circumstances of our lives, stuff that happens and stuff that doesn't happen as well. It just brings huge disappointments. And you might have been waiting for circumstances in your life to change for a long, long time, and they haven't changed. And you get discouraged and you get weary. You get exhausted in strength. Kind of zaps your strength, doesn't it? Your energy. You get exhausted in stamina. Your ability to endure. You don't smile so easily. You lose sight of the good things, you know. Life just gets to be a drudgery. It's just kind of this dutiful plodding on. Because you're weary on the inside. Even if you've had a good night's sleep and physically you're ticking over all right. But you're weary on the inside. Do you know, we don't have to do life like that because of Jesus. He has given us this amazing ability to thrive, really, in testing times. Yes. Or if I can put it like this way, to flourish and be green in the middle of a desert when everything around us is difficult. Yes. We have a God-given ability to be okay. And do you know what? Better than okay. To flourish, Scripture says, to thrive. We can actually keep our joy even when we're facing mountains. Mountains come in so many shapes and sizes and different forms, but there are mountains in life at times we face. We can keep our joy. And the reason for this is circumstances actually are not the problem. They're not the thing that gets us down, this mountain. It's our attitude. It's our attitude to what we see in front of us. Now, I'm not saying that without compassion, because I know sometimes the challenges that we face are really, really hard. But you know, it's our attitude that will determine whether we collapse in front of that mountain or whether we keep our strength. And I'm just going to kind of speak a bit about this morning. I was remembering, we never actually met this man, but when we went to Rwanda years ago, Pastor Judith and I, we met this lovely old American couple who had, they were missionaries there, and they'd opened their back garden to refugees. And the refugees had come in their droves because they found a safe place. And they told us the story of this old man, one of the refugees on their site, who they'd met only a few days before. And he literally had nothing. Everything had been taken from him. Every family member, every possession that he owned. All he had literally were the clothes that were on his back and a plastic bowl that was in his hand. And he said to them with a big smile on his face, he was queuing in the line for food. And he said with a big smile on his face, I didn't know that Jesus was all I needed till Jesus was all I'd got. My gosh, that should make us think, shouldn't it? Really stop and think. That's a good attitude. That's a winning attitude right there. Jesus will not be all he got, for sure, because with faith like that, provision would have come to that man. But, you know, we can be so down and out, and poor me, and the Lord just wants to lift us up and over. And life is tough, and you know, when life is tough, the enemy's always quick to whisper in your ear, yes, it's tough, and it's only going to get worse. You know, that prophet of doom and gloom that Pastor Judith was speaking about last weekend, it's only going to get worse. That's all he ever says. I mean, he's just like this stuck record on repeat. It's only going to get worse. Threats as well. You ain't seen nothing yet. Like that big wave. I'm coming and you can't stop me. Well, hang on a minute. Yes, we can. But his words get us down and his words discourage us. And we need to go to the one who does not grow weary, because there is one and there is only one. We've been singing it this morning. There is one. There is only one who never grows weary. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And we're going to look at Isaiah 40, 28. Isaiah 40, really, these verses are the main sort of scriptures this morning. But it says, have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, never has a down day, never has a discouraged day. His understanding is unsearchable. You'll never get to the end of it. You can't fathom it. You never get to the end of his wisdom. But we can learn it. He knows everything about everything. He can change everything about everything. But he never loses faith. And he never loses power. And we've also been singing this morning. He has an ability to make all things new. Come on. I love that. Brand new. Fresh as a daisy. Completely different. Move that mountain so the scenery completely changes. And verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. I love that. Those who have no might, they've lost their oomph. Their mojo, people call it, don't they? They're just their kind of willingness to go on even. He gives might. He gives strength. He makes new on the inside. And he does it through his spirit and he does it through his word. Or if I could put that a different way, he does it through his presence and he does it through his voice. Discouragement and weariness in the extreme, really hitting rock bottom, people say, the lowest point, it can be no bad thing if we go to him to help. It can actually be your lowest point can be such a positive if you turn to him for help, because that point right down there becomes your turning point. Now, I remember a while ago, I asked someone how they were doing. They're not a believer. And they just replied, well, I'm bobbing along the bottom. I thought, oh, it's so sad to hear, isn't it? I'm bobbing along the bottom. And, you know, he tried finding help in other things that had cost him time and cost him money, had been a sort of temporary fix, but not fixed him in the long term, because only the Lord. And, you know, we have the best help possible. We're going to look at Psalm 20. The Lord reminded me of this. I love these verses. In Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise and stand firm. Some trust in money. Some trust in doctors. Come on, put this into normal life. People are trusting in a whole host of different things. Maybe you're trusting in a whole host of different things. And I'm not saying that money can't help. And I'm not saying that doctors can't help. But in it all and over it all, our trust needs to be in the name of the Lord our God. Our faith in him. Our focus on him to provide, to heal, to deliver, to restore, to make all things new. He's the Saviour. And no matter what the circumstances, how we feel and what we see, we've got a great new song. We sang it last weekend. He's the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. And so we've got to go to him to get encouraged. And we've got to go to him to stay encouraged. And we've got to go to him to get faith. And we've got to go to him to keep that faith. He gives power to the weak, strength to the weary. I just want to encourage you, don't just run to someone else. You know, of course we need wise counsel and other people in our lives, but we've got to go first to God himself. Ask him first. Turn to him first. And then, if it's right, Lord, who do I go to then? You know, if it's right to go to somebody else, you ask him who, and he will direct us to the right people at the right time, because he's wise. He knows how to shepherd us. But there's a help that only God can give. Only he can remove fear, because fear's a spirit. I don't know if you know that. It's not just an emotion. The result is an emotion, but it's brought about by a spirit. Only God can remove fear. Only he can change our hearts, the things we're convinced of and the things that we're moved by. Only he can change that stuff, you know? And the enemy speaks words, doesn't he? God speaks words, the enemy speaks words. And those words always create a negative picture on the inside. It's never good, it's always bad. And when we're discouraged, we need a new picture on the inside. We need to sit with the Lord and give him time to speak to us. Words create pictures, and we need to hear his word so we've got his picture on the inside. The picture that we see, the picture that we believe, and the picture that we speak. And I was unsure really whether to share this testimony, but I want to share a bit of it because it's been amazing what the Lord has done in my life personally. When I was first separated, it was the most shocking thing. I literally felt like I'd been run over by a car and thrown off a cliff. You know, I kind of felt winded and like I was free falling. Some of you here know that feeling. But you know, there's a scripture that says, struck down, but not destroyed. And I knew my help is in the name of the Lord. There's only one place I can go to get fixed. There's only one sure and certain way that I am going to recover and recover well. And that is the Good Shepherd, the amazing healer, restorer, deliverer, the one who makes all things new. And I sat with him for hours, and I mean hours, because I needed my soul restoring. I even needed a physical restoration, really, because, you know, when you go through extreme pain and trauma, emotional stuff, it can even produce a physical pain. I know a cousin of mine, years ago, went through stuff in her life, and she had physical pain in her heart. It was emotional stuff, but she had this physical pain. She actually thought she had heart problems, as in, you know, physical heart problems. And she went to the doctor, and, you know, he just got her to share a little bit of what was going on in her life. And he diagnosed a broken heart. Even medics recognize emotional stuff can be so extreme at times, it will bring about a physical pain, you know. And anyway, the Lord said to me from Jeremiah 31, I will rebuild you and you will be rebuilt. And I just knew when I sat with him, I was like a construction site. I was being reconstructed on the inside, you know. And God is able. He's able to do amazing things, not natural things. And, you know, I had other key scriptures, Psalm 23, Psalm 18, I lived in them. And also he gave me this verse from Psalm 147, verse 3, that says, he binds up the brokenhearted and heals their wounds. Or he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And it takes time, but he gave me strategy, you know. Because there's so many things that jog memories, aren't there? And thousands, literally, in a day. And he said to me, whenever you have a memory or you see something that jogs a memory, believe in that moment, in that instant, I'm healing your heart and I'm binding up the wounds. And let me tell you, I exercised faith in that. And it was like receiving a local anesthetic. It was the most remarkable thing. You know, a local anesthetic, it kind of numbs you. You can't feel anything in that area anymore. And it was like that. I used my faith to believe that scripture. And the Lord worked. And it took time. And yes, it was process. But my gosh, he's the healer. He's an amazing healer. We can't do it. I don't know. I literally would not be standing here without the Lord. But you know, one thing I learned is not to feel sorry for myself. And I think that's such a key when you go through tough times. I refuse to pity myself. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 84, verse 12. Blessed is the one who trusts in him. And I just continued to speak. I didn't feel it. At times I didn't even believe it. But I did speak it. And the more I spoke it, I'm blessed. The more I started to believe it. And you know, the more I started to believe it, the more I started to feel it. And it was this reconstruction, a miracle. You know, the healing of a broken heart is as much of a miracle as a broken back, a broken leg, a broken anything physical. And I know there are people here who have been through extremely difficult situations, really beyond words. And people who are going through great challenge at the moment. But if we will sit with him, the one in whom we trust, wait on him, allow him to speak and bring that light in the darkness and bring that new picture. He revives, he restores. We've got to go to him for help, though. This is the point. Help doesn't come through, you know, these kind of arrow prayers and then getting on with the busyness of life. You've got to just sit with him, feed on him. Let him minister to you, really. He made us, and he can fix us. Whether that be emotional, mental, physical, whatever department of your being, he made you, he can fix you. And Isaiah 40, 30 to 31 says this. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew or restore their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to put it to you this morning. We need to learn how to wait on God. Really. We hear it. We say yes and amen to it. Do we do it? Some of us do, some of us don't. But we got to learn how to wait on him, and to wait on him well, you know, for it to be effective in our lives. Waiting on God, if I can put it to you like this, it is not like sitting in a waiting room waiting for the doctor or waiting for the dentist. You leave through a magazine, you might mess about on your phone, or just simply gaze into the distance. Let in your mind wander, right? Let me tell you, in that scenario, the only one you will meet with is you, right? You will revisit all the thoughts that have been trundling around your head already from different angles. It all just same. And I know this is stating the obvious, but God is another person. And he has different thoughts to you, and he has different ways to you. He has new thoughts, thoughts you've never thought before. Ways of seeing that you've never seen before. He knows everything about everything. And if we're open, you know, we'll let him speak to us into every area of life. I'm just going to take a drink here. He's wise. He's a good God. He's a good shepherd. And he's practical. About, I don't know, maybe 18 months ago, I was having my time with the Lord, and I had this, you know, like a shot across the bow, this kind of, we say it's like an out of the blue thought. Well, it's a God thought. This thought came to me, I reckon my car needs an MOT. And I thought, I think it really needs an MOT. Anyway, I checked, and unfortunately my MOT was very out of date. And I'm not going to tell you how out of date it was, but it was quite out of date. And I took it to the garage, and I just said, look, you know, stuff's been going on, didn't see the email, and, you know, fix it, sort it, please. Anyway, turns out, not only was I illegal, it was very dangerous, my car. Two belts, I didn't know, well, I knew it had one belt. The car has two belts, my car, anyway. How technical and mechanical am I? But both belts were nearly worn out, and it was kind of a bit of a death trap to be driving around in. Praise God, he knows all things. The MOT failed, but I got the car sorted, and, you know, here I am today to tell the tale. But the Lord knows. He wants to shepherd us. He wants to protect us. But it happens as we listen to his voice, doesn't it? Come on. I did a stint as a vegetarian a few years ago. I'm not anti-vegetarian. I'm not anti-vegan. You know, you're doing your veganuary or whatever it is. You crack on and God bless you. But it did not work for me. And I was, I mean, lethargic. It's got nothing on it. I'm dragging myself around. I was praying one day, and the Lord, clear as a bell, just said to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And, it left me in no doubt as to what he was saying. I had got to get back to some meat protein, you know. But he speaks to us in different ways. He'll tell you what to eat, what to buy, when to buy, where to look for things when you've lost things, all these different things. But we've got to sit with him and not just sit and think, talk to him. Pastor Judith said on Wednesday, and this was so good and so right, we need to talk like he's in the room, because he is, right? You know, I encourage you to pray out loud. I was thinking about this. You don't sort of think about what you do in a way. You just get on and do, don't you? But, and this might sound a bit strange, when I'm on my own talking to the Lord, I talk in a whisper. I don't know why, but I've always done it that way. But the point is, I do pray out loud. I do pray out loud. Because it stops your mind from wandering. Whether it's an out loud or an out loud whisper, speak. It will stop your mind from wandering. It will keep you focused, stop you from falling asleep. And, you know, it helps. Speak out loud. Talk to him like he's in the room, because he is. And you know, you just start with worship. I always worship him. You know, like we did this morning, brilliantly led by Sam. Just focus on him. Tell him who he is to you. Make yourself low and him high. Remind yourself of who it is you're talking to. Cast your cares. Present your requests. Talk to him. You know? And don't do all the talking. Stop and listen. Because he wants to speak back. You might get a scripture or a picture or a thought out of the blue, you know? But let me say this. If it doesn't sound like God, it probably isn't. You know, he'll never encourage you to do anything unrighteous or unloving. And if you don't hear anything, pick up your Bible. In fact, even when you do, most often the Lord gives me a scripture. Often just like a part of a scripture. And I have to go to my concordance often, but I'll find it. And then you can feed on that. Like, that's your green pasture. You need to stop there and feed. But pick up your Bible and read. And if you think you don't have time to wait on God, let me encourage you to think again. Because that little bit of time you save by not waiting on God, you will lose. That and more, and lots of other things, but you will lose trying to figure things out on your own, trying to problem solve, trying to sort your mistakes. Honestly, one thought from the Lord can save you hours, days, weeks even, of work and self-effort. His understanding is unsearchable. No one can fathom it. We need to know his thoughts. We need to know what God's... Just turn to the person next to you and say, I need to know what God's thinking. Because, you know, he sees further than we see. He sees broader than we see. Hebrews 4:13, nothing is hidden from his sight. Nothing. He sees it all. He can see into the future. I often think of it like this because it's true. You know those timelines that you used to draw at school? Past, present, future. It's like that. The Lord's got world history in front of him. And world future all at the same time. He can see anything, about anyone, about any nation, any city, any government, any individual at any point in time. He sees. He sees the end from the beginning. I was thinking about this. You know, if you take it personally, he sees your past, your present, your future. He sees the point where we all die physically, where this mortal is swallowed up by immortality. Scripture says death is swallowed up in victory. He sees it. He sees it. He knows when. And he wants to prepare us. But you know, there are many days, I trust, in between, many days before us. And he sees them all. And he knows the pitfalls. And he knows the crossroads. And he knows the wrong decisions. And he knows the right decisions. But if we will listen to him, he will warn us in advance. He'll prepare us, direct us. So we're already thinking like he thinks. We're already seeing like he sees. Because his wisdom is superior. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says this. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. It is so superior, so much better, so much greater, so much more accurate. He doesn't just see in part. We see in part and know in part. He sees the lot. And he's amazing. In all his ways, he's amazing. Back to the greatness of time with God. He doesn't just change your mind, though. It's not just information, is it? If you've got a soft heart with God, you won't just receive information. The information's good. The light in the darkness is good. But he'll change your heart. So it's not just a head change, it's a heart change as well. So that you actually want to do his will. And you've actually got faith to do his will. Amazing. So our job is to wait on him. I love to think, Lord, it's your job to change me. I can't change myself. Amen. You know, you can't change yourself. But if you will wait on him, plonk yourself down in the presence of the Lord and wait on him. Let him work on you. He will bring us from down and under to up and over. Amen. Isaiah 40 verse 31. You will know it well, but we're going to look at this. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, I've been doing a bit of study on eagles this week, and I've been so blessed by what I found out about eagles. I have to be honest, and I don't cry easily, actually. I'm not an easy crier. It made me cry learning about these birds. They're amazing. Amazing. And if we could have this book called them the Kings of the Sky. They're bold. They're strong. They're powerful. They're majestic. Dependable. What are they dependable on? Dependent on? They're dependent on the airwaves, the thermals. They're courageous. They don't fear man or beast or the elements. Fearless. And that is God's plan for every single one of us in this room. They don't fear man, nor beast, nor the elements. They don't fear people. They don't fear circumstances. They don't fear their feelings. They don't fear their own thoughts even. They don't fear the enemy. Fear God, the one who is to be feared above all. But fearless in this life. But this was the thing that really got me. This next slide. Eagles don't try to avoid storms. They take advantage of them. Eagles don't try to avoid the storms. You know, they see them coming. Their eyesight is incredible. You know, all the other birds, they're flying low level, looking down. The eagle's looking. It sees those dark clouds gathering. It knows. But it doesn't fear the storms. It takes advantage of them. When the storm hits, all the other birds and animals are afraid. But the eagle doesn't try and hide. The other birds are flapping and squawking and, you know, they're in a panic. The eagle locks its wings. This is literally what it does. It locks its wings so that it can soar undaunted into the face of it. It uses the air current to gain height. This is profound, really. When you think about it, the Lord says we're eagles. We can be like eagles, using those adverse circumstances to gain height. It doesn't try to fight the storm. It's discovered the secret of harnessing its power. So it can mount up and soar effortlessly. I mean, it's just like these tiny adjustments it makes with its body and its wings to just catch the air current thermal at the right point to get the lift above the turmoil, above the confusion, above the darkness, to this place of peace. If we could have the next slide, this, look at that, bright, calm, stable, such grace and control has the eagle. It's not intimidated, it's not flapping, it's majestic, it's regal, conqueror of the elements. And I just think this is the most brilliant example in this earthly realm that the Lord has given to us to help us understand our potential, what is possible for us, how he wants us to live and how we can live because of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We can use the storms that the enemy throws, and my gosh, he throws them, but we can use those storms to gain height and to soar above. This is not human ability. This is not human strength. It's not human resources. It's supernatural. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up With wings like eagles, they will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. But we got to sit down in his presence. You know, not busy with life. You know, letting everything else get in the way. Really giving him time and space to hear his voice. And then once we've heard, we can lock our wings of believing and speaking it out, singing it out, however you want to get it out, but taking that eagle approach so that we can catch the lift. Locking our wings of believing and speaking and then enjoying that lift. You know, PJ was speaking about the law of lift last weekend. This is the supernatural law of lift. Up and over. Come on. From not believing to believing. To being on the floor with discouragement. And, you know, all the other rubbish that the enemy throws. Sense of failure. Condemnation. Just thought that life is never going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. Dragging ourselves around. They will mount up with wings like eagles. And we need this eagle position because we need this eagle sight as well, you know? We need to see what God sees. And as I was saying earlier, we just all carry around this internal picture, don't we? How we see ourselves and our circumstances. And we need God's picture. Yes. Yes. Just say out loud, I need God's picture. Oh, yes, you do. And the Word paints the picture of who you are and what your future is going to be. Yes. The Word. Yes. The Word. The Spirit-given Word. And he opens our eyes. You know, the Holy Spirit, he's brilliant at putting words into pictures, isn't he? You know, he can take a passage of Scripture and just, boom, give you an image. I mean, look at the eagle. You know, it's like you understand so much just by looking and understanding that bird of what is possible for you and for me. Strong, bold, courageous, living above the storms, not because you're trying to, but you've got that supernatural ability. But it doesn't happen naturally. It just doesn't. Just because you're a believer and you come to church on a Sunday, even go to your Connect group regularly, won't just happen. It's not automatic. It's our potential, but it won't happen unless we make the effort to wait on him. You won't get the lift unless you wait on him. And so we need to go into our rooms. Scripture tells us, doesn't it? Go into your room and shut the door. You know, like get to a quiet place. And I know it's not easy for some of you, particularly with young children, you know, to even get into the bathroom and close the door is a miracle. You know, maybe you need to do that to get your 5 minutes to wait on the Lord. You know, this mini waiting on the Lord, but do it. I'm serious. Do it. But go in with an expectation. I'm going to meet with God. He's going to speak to me right into this situation. I'm going to hear exactly what I need to hear. And I am going to mount up. I'm not staying on the floor like a chicken hiding in the corner. I'm going to mount up on wings like an eagle. If you are tired of feeling tired, you know, fed up, really, with being discouraged and weary on a regular basis, you need to wait on him on a regular basis. It is the only way things are going to change. You know, you won't know the greatness of it till you do it, if I can put it like that. I've only been once. I hope I get to go again. I went to Switzerland once years ago, and it had such an impact on me. And I can tell you about the majestic mountains and the pure air and the clean streets and start to paint a picture with words so you get a bit of understanding. But you'll never know the greatness of it till you go yourself. You know, a bit like that with the presence of the Lord. You never know the greatness and the benefit of it till you sit yourself down and wait on him. You know, it's like Christmas. I was thinking, it's like just gift upon gift. Scripture talks about grace upon grace, gift upon gift, favor upon favor. Things just keep coming. It's like, wow, Lord, really? That's amazing. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Thanks for giving me a bit of wisdom with that. Needed to hear that. You know, It's not about what he can get from us. It's about what he can get to us. And that's the truth, because that's the generous father that he is. And when I was preparing this message, I kept thinking about Habakkuk. There's a scripture in Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet in some of Israel's really, well, a lot of Israel's history is difficult, but really, really difficult time for Israel. It was like national crisis, really. Everywhere he looked with natural eyes, the people were oppressed. Everything was wrong. But Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2, verse 1, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Now, I find this a very interesting verse. Think about it. Words are creating pictures. I will watch and see what he will say to me. His words, he's expecting God's words to bring a new picture. He's sick and tired of seeing all the doom and gloom. He's sick and tired of seeing all the oppression. He's grieved by it. He's sick and tired of hearing everybody say, this is never going to change, this is awful, only going to get worse. He knows he needs a new picture. And so he sets himself on the rampart. And if all we do is look at life through these natural eyes, let me tell you, it will be negative. I'm not denying there's positives, of course there are. But for sure there are negatives. And the enemy always wants to open our eyes to see those. And you kind of lose the will. You know, you feel like giving up when all you see is negative, all you hear is negative. And so we need to look and see what God will say to us. Set ourselves on the rampart. Because he will bring a picture of hope. He will bring a picture of deliverance. He will bring a picture of out and out victory over whatever that thing is that's threatening you. And you need to write it down. Habakkuk says, write it down. Don't be so quick to forget about it. Write it down that when you read it, you can run with it. When you remember it, you run with it. And write it down so that you can say it to yourself so many times it becomes part of you. Part of who you are, part of what you believe and what you speak. Your expectation of good. And God's ways have been the same from the beginning. He's always worked like this. He's always taught his people to work like this. You know the 12 spies that went into the promised land? All they saw were giants. All they saw were, it's trouble, it's trouble. Well, the report they came back with, this is trouble. A giant's in that, like, we're going to be eaten alive. That was their report, natural eyes, natural speaking. Two, had a spirit of faith. Joshua and Caleb, what did they say? This land's flowing with milk and honey. Come on, we are well able. Totally different report, totally different eyes. Joshua, think about all his men marching around the walls of that fortified city. Now, those walls were strong and deep and high and wide. And they'd have been saying, we can't do this. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. But Joshua had heard, I'm giving Jericho into your hands. He'd have been saying, these walls are coming down, boys. Come on. This is what God has said. I'm believing it. I'm speaking it. God's shown me. God's told me I can see those walls flat. Flat. Come on. Lazarus, come on, he'd been in the tomb 4 days, hot climate. And the mourners, you know, they had sort of professional mourners, I think. I'm sure I've read that somewhere. Different cultures do it different, but, you know, they're all gathering around Mary and Martha and giving their condolences and so sorry for your loss and all the rest of it. Jesus walks up. He's coming out of there today. Stop it with your mourning. Take your sackcloth off. Put your ash to one side. The man's coming out. And yes, he'll come out in bandages. And yes, there might be a bit of a smell. But you know what? We'll give him a bath. We'll take the bandages off. He'll be right as rain. He saw it because the Lord on the mountain had showed him. He believed it. He spoke it. Every single one of those scenarios, they'd heard. They'd waited. They'd heard what God was saying. They saw what God was going to do. They believed it and they spoke it. They got that lift. They got their eagle sight. They got their eagle position. We need that. Let me tell you, we need that. If your circumstances are all good and right and fine and lovely at the moment, praise God and God bless you. But there'll always be something. There'll always be something that will try and come in and steal, because we live in a fallen world with a real enemy. And so we got to learn God's ways. You know, and not just for ourselves, for a lost world out there. We need to stand on the rampart, hear what God will speak, you know, and start to believe and speak for them. We can be the same as everyone else, can't we? Looking with natural eyes, saying what we see, saying what we feel. Or we can wait on God, hear what he will say and get that lift. Believe and speak what he says. I'm going to finish with this. Daniel 7, verse 25. This is talking about the enemy. He will speak words against the Most High God and wear down the saints of the Most High. That's his goal. That's his intention. It might not be a massive swipe to take you out, but that daily nagging, drip, 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 drip of negativity, doubt, fear, failure, accusation, to wear us down. God works with words. The enemy works with words. God's words encourage and bring faith. The enemy's words wear us down. They bring discouragement. They make you oversensitive, if I can put it like that. Don't they? When you lose your courage and your joy, you just get a little bit more oversensitive. When you're oversensitive, you make bad decisions. Eat too much, spend too much, become a bit grouchy and difficult to live with. Come on. All in the plan, the enemy's plan. And his words in our heads, because you know, you think it's your own thought, don't you? You know, when he speaks, you just think it's one of your own thoughts that actually is quite reasonable given the circumstances. And right. Now, let me tell you, it might be reasonable, but it won't be right. Because he puts a negative bent and twist on everything. He's a deceiver. You know, your husband is impossible to live with. Your wife's impossible to live with. For sure you'll have had that thought. And you know, he's the father of all Pharisees, did you know? Pharisees are alive and well, let me tell you. And they're all over the place. They're everywhere. He's the father of them all. And what he inspires, tries to inspire, is nitpicking, yes, fault finding, right, yes, accusation, pointing of the finger, magnifying every negative, minimizing every positive. And he tries to do that with everything in our lives, our health, our finances, your job, every relationship you've got, blind you to the positives, magnify the negatives. So you see it all bad. And he uses words in the hope that if he repeats himself often enough, you will start to believe it and start to repeat it yourself. Well, they're no good at this. They're always doing that. They're forever doing that. They said they'd change. They never change. Na, 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 na. You know, complaint, little bit of whinge coming in. And when we start to agree with him, let me tell you, we are on a fast downward spiral, are we not? So my question is, whose report will we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. God's words are creative, you know. Think of creation. He created something out of nothing. He brought a complete change. One day, boom, I'm sure there was a big bang when God said, let there be light. You know, he can bring something out of nothing in your life, in my life. But it all starts, if we could go back to our friend the eagle, it all starts with this Isaiah 40, 31. If we will be serious to do this, you know, commit in a serious way, I am going to do this. I have done it in the past, but I've been patchy at best. I'm going to make a commitment today to do this on a regular basis. Set myself on the rampart and hear what the Lord will say to me. We will see things turn around. We will prophesy the promise, but not hot air, prophesying out of faith, believing and speaking what God gives to us. Let's stand to our feet.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.